need a break? Relax, grab a coffee, and join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Again, it was great to have everybody on board. Irene, you're back. Great to have you back. And I'll tell you out there, listeners, Irene goes, do you really want me back because my voice is all croaky? I'm like, yeah, who cares? Irene, you're back. Welcome back.
Hi, everybody. Good to be back. I hope you can hear me clearly enough.
Of course they can. Hey, do you know what I wanted to talk about a little bit about today is your favourite auntie. Now, favourite aunties are meant to be invincible, aren't they? And favourite aunties always hold a very special place. And I'm sure everybody has one. Well, probably most people have one. And our favourite auntie went to sleep one day and didn't wake up. And it was a shock to all of us. And you kind of think, well, hang on, great auntie, you're meant to be invincible. But, so we just celebrated Aunt Auntie Rosemary's life. She was 91, bless her. But it just made me think about everybody having that real favourite auntie. You got a favourite auntie?
No, I don't think I've got any aunties, to tell you the truth. I think they're all dead already. I did.
Was there one when you were growing up? Was there one?
It was my Auntie Phil. She was my favourite auntie. And my mother's sister. And yeah, she was a sweetheart. She lived in Australia and I'd go and visit her whenever I could. She's an ex-nurse. So yeah, there definitely was. But how on earth is your auntie just died in her sleep? There's no pre-warning or anything. What a wonderful way to go.
Absolutely, isn't it? Hey, wouldn't it? I mean, I'm happy if I go that way as well. But yeah, and to be able to celebrate that, yeah, because it gets quite stressful, you know, when someone maybe is not so well. But then you kind of think, well, if they're not well, you're expecting it. And we didn't expect this. But yeah, what an amazing way to go, eh? Perfect.
And I do believe, and I've emphasized this with my daughters, I do believe that you should celebrate the way that person would have liked you to celebrate, the way she lived her life, you know. So having a morbid, you know, highly religious, everybody crying, thing going on, if that's not what that person was into, I don't think is a good thing. I think do it the way, you know, I've said to my daughters, I don't want anybody. I don't want any service. I don't want any of that. I want you to get hold of all my friends, do the cheapest burning of the body thing that you possibly can, put it into a cardboard box, get hold of all my friends and tell them that you're going to do a road trip around the North Island of New Zealand and you're going to visit all the my favourite beaches and places where I dived and sailed, and you're just going to chuck a little bit of ashes into the water everywhere you go and have a tequila shot in my favourite places, and you're all just going to laugh and joke and take the mickey out of me like you did when I was alive and have a good time. Now, I know I'm going to have people turning around and saying, that's highly illegal. Well, you know what? Throwing a few ashes on the water in lots of different places, what harm can it do?
Absolutely. Now, I hope you've got that plan written down for somebody that they know, not assuming that everybody knows where your favourite places are, because that's the thing, isn't it? You know, even with this, it was like, we, you know, when the stories were coming and we were thinking, you know, her daughter even goes, I don't know where she got married. And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? Because, you know, your kids come after that. And if it's not something, you go back. But it is interesting what you say about what you want. And I think that's really important to stress it. Do what you want to do. There are no rules around how you do your service or how you farewell somebody. And, you know, it kind of came to, I've been to a few funerals lately. I must be at that age where kind of funerals are the things you go to. But one of them, you know, the daughter, she did it all. And they did everything. There was no celebrant. And the second one, there was a celebrant and, you know, lots of stories. And I remember when Aunt Rosemary passed and her daughter, you know, rang me and was talking through, as you say, what she would have liked to have happened. And, but she said, oh, but I've been told I need this and that. And I said, no, you don't. What would you like to do? And she said, well, I'd like to do it myself. I'd like the informal and everybody to, you know, tell the stories and have fun. I said, well, you do it that way. And isn't it interesting how we kind of get stuck in this box that, oh, no, we have to have this and we have to. No, you don't. You can do it how you like. So,
and funerals have become this massive, very expensive money-making thing, which most people cannot afford anymore. So, you know, those businesses need to get a life, you know, because we're not going to do it anymore. And they're so morbid and they're so, I had a wonderful email sent to me or Facebook messaging, I think it was sent to me just recently. One of my friends down in the South Island, her husband died about 5 years ago, and he was one of these real Irish or Scottish. No, oh gosh, I've got to get that right.
He was Scottish. You better do, yeah.
He was Scottish, but one of these real Scottish characters, you know, always wore this little peaky cap, used to play in a band, played the bagpipes as well. Like he was a rocker. He loved rock music, and he his band was a rock band. But they also played bagpipes and celebrated their Scottish heritage. So when he died, it was all his band members and everybody, you know, the pipes were going, everything. It was a huge celebration. Well, it was his 5-year anniversary of his death, and they redid it. They all got together and they all had the pipes going and they all had a big party, and Glenys got up and gave this beautiful little speech about how much she still misses her man. And yeah, it was just absolutely beautiful looking at it. And I went, what a fabulous way to go. There wasn't one person in there crying. They were all celebrating him with big smiles on their faces.
Awesome, isn't it? I remember one of the funerals I went to a few years ago, actually, the casket was just a white painted box and you could go and write your messages on it. So everybody was invited up and you could write whatever you wanted to write on that. To that person. And I just loved that. I thought that was fantastic. You know,
that is cool.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things. I mean, you don't have to have this flash box made out of pine or cedar or whatever. You're not showing respect to your dead loved one if you've got this box that costs you $10,000 with gold handles. And I mean, all it's going to be burnt or buried in the ground or whatever, you know. It is totally unnecessary. They make cardboard boxes nowadays. You won't get the funeral home selling them, but you can buy them and you can get a cardboard box, which is sufficient for doing the job.
Yep. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? And it's just kind of neat to see the different ways that people do, you know, want to celebrate somebody's life. I've also been to a funeral where actually we went straight to the graveyard, dropped her coffin into the hole and everybody around sung and told stories, you know? So, yeah, I think it's important maybe that we do share with those people we know or have it somewhere written down of actually what we would like to happen, you know, because sometimes it's not what others would like to see happen to you. But, hey, how about writing down what you would like? Yeah.
I think that's really, really important. And, like, for instance, with me, my two girls had never even thought of me being anything but totally invincible. So it was a bit of a shock to them. So having them both together for the first time in a long time, because my daughter from Australia flew over, that was a really good opportunity for us to have that conversation. And I instigated and said, right, girls, now we need to have that conversation. And of course, note that, you know, one was extremely emotional about it. No, we don't need to have that there. This is just a little hitch. And the other one was, yes, Mum, good idea. So, you know, you just have to get ahead and do it. And once I had discussed things with them, the emotional one felt much more comfortable. My drama queen settled down and she actually felt way, way more comfortable than she had before. But it's also important to keep reviewing how you've set up your enduring powers of attorney, etc. I have an enduring power of attorney with a family member who I trusted to follow my wishes for when I do get close to dying. I don't want any machines or anything keeping me alive. But that one has got mental health problems of her own now. That I don't feel it's the right thing for me to do to leave her in that position. So I'm going to have to move that power, even though it's miles, you know, could be miles down the track and she might be perfectly healthy by then. Right now, because of the situation I'm in, I need to make sure that I'm protecting her as well from having to make a decision.
That's a really good thought, isn't it? You know, because often we do those things because, you know, someone says, right, you need to pop that on a bit of paper and you think about it at that moment and, you know, ask that person. But you're absolutely right. Your circumstances change, don't they? You know, and so, yeah, that's a really good reminder to just keep reviewing. yeah. So, wow.
It's quite funny. I'm sitting in this wonderful place at the moment. It's called Pilot Bay at Mount Maunganui, which is one of my favourite swimming beaches.
Oh, so a little bit of you is going to go to Pilot Bay?
Oh, no, probably all up north. Probably. I haven't spent much time down here. But the wind is howling down here. It's, the van is rocking like I'm sitting on the ocean. But all along this roadway are these great big old pine trees. And I'm hearing all this racket going on outside, and I've just realized that it's all the pine, they're not pine cones, but those long pine fingers are all being blown off the trees and landing on top of my camper van, on top of my solar panels. And it's like, you better not be scratching my, oh, there goes another one. They sound quite loud, actually.
Isn't that interesting? Because I can't hear them.
No, well, I certainly can. I'm getting worried about my solar panels.
Isn't it fun yet? We are in that time of the year, aren't we? That autumn where it's kind of my poor little ponies, I've got their covers on today, but they're probably sweating, you know, because it's actually still quite warm, but it's just so wet. And we, of course, we need the rain desperately. You know, our water tanks were getting quite low. And then here we go again. It's too hot. Oh, no, it's too wet. It's too windy. Oh, we're never happy, are we?
Yes, I know. It's going to be interesting. I'm very interested to see what the winter brings us, quite frankly. New Zealand, particularly the North Island, has got a lot of clay in its substructure. And that is why we've had so many of these slips in the past, because the rain gets through to the clay and then it just all washes off. But that's, you know, that's not going to get better.
And it's interesting, even just stopping this dry, and it, depending on where you are around the country, but certainly in Auckland, we had lovely rain, the rain that actually soaked in rather than the rain that just kind of ran off. And that's what our ground needed. It was full of cracks and things, and, you know, all the plants are looking so much happier. And just with that, you know, little bit of rain that we have had, I think we've all got it actually throughout the whole country. We've all had a little bit of that wet stuff, but there it is. Here we are. We're in what we do need this winter is some real cold snaps up here up north. The wasps up north are just incredible. And so we need some real cold snap to kill those, wasps off. So
yeah, they seem to be everywhere at the moment. They really do. I wanted to put a plug in for the Tauranga Hospital, an amazing hospital that's always running on, not enough staff and not enough funding and not enough everything like every other hospital in New Zealand is. But the management of that hospital is so great that their staff, their nurses, their doctors aren't pushed to the limits by it, and the patients don't get to see it. So, you know, like all good businesses, that Tauranga Hospital is so well managed. But I tell you one thing that astounded me, and I would love to know why. So if any of the listeners out there can tell me why this is. Of our trained nurses and doctors that come through the system every year, we're lucky if a quarter of them get hired in New Zealand. And I was led to believe prior to this that it was because they get more money overseas. That's just not true. They don't get jobs here. They have to go overseas to get a job. They don't want to go overseas, but only a few of them get jobs here. I cannot understand why we were importing nurses only a few years ago when we can't give all the nurses we train a job. It doesn't make sense to me. Anybody got an answer for this?
Yeah, it's unfathomable, this. Absolutely. Yeah, it's just incredibly weird. And you're right, we're absolutely short of doctors and nurses. And then you hear, you know, you hear that and you just think, really? Somebody hasn't got this quite right.
Yeah, definitely haven't. Definitely haven't. Anyway, that's my political spiel for the day.
and a big thumbs up to Tauranga Hospital. I hope that one of them are listening there that can feel proud that they're doing an amazing job for us and keeping you safe, Irene, even with your croaky voice. We think it's just fantastic to have you back. And yeah, so anyway, for our listeners out there, if you've been to one of those funerals and celebrated someone's life in a way that's not kind of what used to be the norm, why don't you share it? Tell us all about it and tell us how it worked for you. But for everybody else, we'll see you the same time, same place next week.
Listen on demand. Pod it. Your favourite shows are waiting on planetaudio.org.nz.
Loving Auckland, our diverse city.
I was living close to the Mangere Bridge mountain. And going to the mountain, it gave me a sense of where I come from in southern Sudan. And it gave me a sense of seeing the Nile and water and all the view.
I see all these things like beautiful flowers that I see back in the island, fruits and vegetables.
You can touch the roots of the country and the history.
I like and love Auckland because it's very green and it's very natural. I'm